Well, good to be with you. We're excited to look at God's Word for a few minutes together tonight. Grab your bulletin, which hopefully you got on the way in. And in the middle section, you'll find some verses that we're going to be reading and talking about for the next couple of moments. We're continuing tonight in our series, The Power of Simple Words. And we come to tonight what is perhaps the most countercultural word in this entire series. Tonight we're going to talk about a word that you won't find advertised, you won't find communicated to you in very many places. Because tonight we're talking about the word enough. There are very few to even no places in our culture where you're going to hear the word enough. In fact, what is actually true is it's quite the opposite. Every single advertisement you see is communicating the opposite of this word. It's telling you, you don't have enough. You need more. You need to buy more. You need to wear more. You need to eat more. You need to work out more. You need to do more. It's just ingrained in us. And I think it starts at a young age for us. When I was 18 years old, I had my first, and I think my only, mall job. Anybody have a job in a mall at any point in your life? Yeah, mall job. And my mall job was at a little store that we call Hot Topic. Now, I don't always use visuals during my sermons, but I feel like for this story, it's only appropriate to show you what we're dealing with here in this situation. Now, you have to keep in mind, this is 2002. An 18-year-old Beau, and I don't have a picture of myself actually working in the Hot Topic store, because it is not punk rock to have your mom come in and take a picture of you while you're at work when you're 18 working at Hot Topic. What I do have my mom had a tradition. Every day on the first day of school, she made me take a picture in front of the refrigerator, and it was cute when I was 8, but when I was 18, we had this. So, a lot to take in here. From the metal beaded necklace to the studded leather bracelets, yes, two of them, multiple, to the studded belt, the wallet chain, the Che Guevara t-shirt, the inability to smile for a picture. It was like, my mom was like, smile. I was like, like, just couldn't even do it. That kid was on his way to the first day of his senior year of high school, and then he had to go to work at Hot Topic as soon as that was over. Okay, that's enough. Please take that away. My God. As an employee of Hot Topic, however, one of the things I was trained in was to increase my units per transaction. Meaning, part of my job, what I was trained in was to convince people that when they came up to purchase something, they don't actually have enough items in their hand. They need to buy more items than they actually brought up, because we wanted to sell more items per transaction. The way that usually worked was I had to be knowledgeable about all the different stuff in the store and know things that connected to it. So when somebody would come up, I would say, oh, wow, what a cool Blink-182 t-shirt you're buying. Did you know we got some Boxcar Racer pins right over here that would look good on that shirt? Oh, wow, what a sick System of a Down beanie you have. Did you see our tool stickers we have over here in the sticker case? More items, more items, more items all the time. And that philosophy that was drilled into me when I was 18 years old working in the mall is something that I think we hear all the time in our lives. But I just have to wonder, could it be that the kingdom of God has a different message for us than that? You see, the message and the philosophy of you don't have enough is a problem. Because in that context, the word enough is a moving target. You never arrive at enough. How much money is enough? Is $100,000 enough? Is $1 million enough? As soon as you arrive to what you thought would be enough, what you discover is that it's actually not enough, and you're now wanting or needing more. Enough is always a moving target. How many followers on Instagram is enough? How in shape is enough? How low the body fat percentage is enough? How many abs are enough? It's like, you have 6, I want 8. You're being greedy at this point. Like, save some abs for the rest of us, you guys. You see, there's never actually enough in this world. But tonight, we're going to talk about how in God's kingdom, it's not about having more, possessing more, earning more, which is really just a jail sentence in our lives. But instead, how the power of the word enough is truly found in one person, and his name is Jesus. Yeah. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, we are so grateful for the way you're already working in this place tonight, the way your spirit is just moving. God, we pray that as we look at your word for the next few moments, would you just continue to speak to us? Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that it is active, that when we read it and we apply it to our lives, by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So God, I pray that you would change us tonight. Would we learn how to be truly satisfied, not in the stuff that we have, but in who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to read about and talk about a man who never had enough. He wanted more and he wanted more, but what he found is that the pursuit of enough in his life actually just left him empty inside. However, an encounter with Jesus would change all of that. So in Luke 19, it'll be in your bulletins, it'll also be on the screens. Here's what we read. Talking about Jesus, it says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, he's gone to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay it back 4 times as much. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. So we meet a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is a Jewish man, but we have to know Zacchaeus is not loved in his community. We have to remember that at this time in history, Israel was an occupied nation. Rome had come in, and Rome was now in charge. And part of being in charge meant that you collected taxes. Some things never change, except that Rome would not use their own people to collect these taxes. They knew that if they used their own citizens or if they used their own soldiers, there was too great a risk for conflict, fight, and even rebellion and uprising. So instead, Rome would hire Jewish people to collect taxes from their own people and pay them to Rome. So imagine it. Here you have one of your own people collecting taxes for Big Brother and then sending them off to the enemy that you can't stand that is occupying your nation. On top of that, tax collectors were notorious scam artists. They would charge you extra and keep the leftover. They would take a profit off of you. So Zacchaeus, he is a well-known crook among his people. So Jesus, he enters Jericho, and I love it. It tells us that he was just passing through. I love this about this story and about Jesus. He originally didn't have any intention of staying in Jericho. He was going to move on through. But aren't you grateful that Jesus is willing to be interrupted for people? Like, how often do I just get so caught up in all of my own stuff and what I'm focused on the work I'm doing, that I can't bother to be interrupted by people? But Jesus is always willing to be interrupted for the person in his path. So Jesus comes to Jericho, and the parade starts. People want to see Jesus. They're flooding the streets all to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus too. But if you grew up in children's church, you know that he had a hard time with this because Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He was short. He couldn't see over the crowds. So he gets an idea. He's going to climb up a tree so he can see Jesus. And we have to recognize this is a really big deal. This is a completely undignified act for him to do. This guy is at serious risk of getting his Supreme shirt dirty and scuffing his off-whites. Why? Why would a guy who was absolutely just bawling do an undignified act like this? I think it's because Zacchaeus is already becoming aware of something that it takes so many of us so long to understand. That having more does not satisfy us. I think he's becoming aware of this. There's no amount of money that will ultimately satisfy who we are and the longing in our heart. There's no status we can finally achieve to really satisfy us. There's no amount of sex we can have to actually satisfy us. There's not enough status in community. There's not enough food that we can eat to satisfy us. There's not a big enough following on Instagram to actually satisfy us. You can acquire and you can consume and you can acquire and you can consume every day of your life and you'll get to the end and it won't have been enough. Yet Zacchaeus knows that in Jesus there is something different. There's something new happening here. There's something here that he won't find anywhere else. I think deep down, Zacchaeus recognized that in this guy coming down the street in Jesus, there actually is something here that will satisfy the unquenchable hunger and need that is inside of him. And by the way, Fusion, that is inside all of us as well. So Zacchaeus is up in his tree, and here comes Jesus. The crowd is pressing in and reaching for him, and the disciples are doing their best to stop this from becoming a mob. They're doing their best to make a pathway for Jesus to travel through Jericho. And Zacchaeus is just watching. Like, is this guy really special like he's heard that he is? I mean, he looks like a normal guy. Maybe there isn't anything different about him. He just looks so normal. Maybe there isn't anything about him that will satisfy the deep longing inside Zacchaeus. Maybe it's all fake. Maybe it's all hype. Maybe Jesus is just something people have made up to make themselves feel better and to help them sleep at night. He looks so normal. And then Jesus arrives at the tree where Zacchaeus is. And though he's given no sign of ever seeing Zacchaeus up there, he stops and he just looks up at him. And their eyes meet and hope begins to swell in Zacchaeus. And this traveling rabbi that everybody is just dying to get a hold of, dying to get a piece of, he looks at Zacchaeus and he says, "Hey, too short, out of the tree. I'm coming to your house tonight." I love this, that the story begins with Jesus just passing through, but now for the sake of Zacchaeus, Jesus is staying at his house. And so Zacchaeus, he scrambles down out of the tree and he's so excited. He's like, yeah, come on. I want you to come and stay at my house. And the people around them are just disgusted by it. Why? Why would this holy man go to a house of somebody like Zacchaeus, this crook, this scumbag, this guy who always needed more, even at the expense of his own people? But Zacchaeus doesn't even hear them. Because Zacchaeus is looking into the eyes of the only thing that will ever truly satisfy him. And suddenly, as he stands in the presence of Jesus, none of the stuff matters anymore. He finally understands what enough actually is, and it's Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he's changed in this moment. He says, all the stuff I used to spend my life chasing after, it no longer matters. In fact, I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I've robbed anybody, I'm going to pay him back four times as much as I took from them. Zacchaeus finally says, enough. And in that moment, Jesus declares that salvation has come because Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. And yet you have to think about that for a moment. For a Jew at this time to be recognized as a son of Abraham, it was the highest honor in their culture. And Zacchaeus is a man who had formerly been cut off from his people. He did not know what it was like to be a son of Abraham. He did not know what it was like to have somebody speak that over him, to call out that identity in him. But Jesus, in this moment, restores that identity to him. He calls that identity out of Zacchaeus. And a man who had never had enough encounters Jesus, and suddenly he is changed. Suddenly he knows what enough truly is. Because he encountered Jesus, and because he encountered salvation. And listen, salvation means more than just knowing the right things about Jesus. Lots of people can tell you things about Jesus. In this story, salvation means that healing has come. That this broken corruption in Zacchaeus has been healed. He has been set free from the treadmill of more, 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 more. Look, Fusion, the solution to the unending drive that's in all of us for more is never going to be to get more stuff. It's not going to be get more stuff until you finally have enough of whatever the need is inside of you. Because there's never enough. The solution for the emptiness that we all experience will always be turning to Jesus. Placing your trust in him. You see, enough is not a level of wealth that we achieve, but a statement of trust that you declare. Jesus, you are enough. And because I have you, I don't need to strive for more. I don't need to spend all of my days looking for enough because Jesus, I have you and you are enough. And when we find that level of trust, of turning to God in that way, suddenly we find satisfaction that the world can never offer us. Look at Isaiah 58, where God writes this. He says, at that time, when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, here I am, I am. If you get rid of the yoke among you, the finger pointing, the malicious speaking, and if you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in the darkness and your night will be like noonday. The Lord will always lead you and satisfy you in a parched land and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water never runs dry. Fusion, we live in a parched world that is always looking for more, always striving for enough. But when we call out to Jesus, he answers us. And suddenly, like an oasis springing up in a desert, we are satisfied. But look, this isn't some prosperity promise happening up here. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to make you rich. This isn't a turn to Jesus and just watch your bank account magically grow all of a sudden. What I'm saying is that when Jesus is experienced and known, when he is welcomed in, yes, your needs are met and suddenly what you have is enough. Wow. Your identity is in Jesus and that is enough. Your future is in Jesus, and that is enough. Your hope is in Jesus, and that is enough. This isn't a matter of being rich or being poor. This is a matter of being in Jesus. Paul knew something about being rich and being poor. And look at what he writes in Philippians 4. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. He's writing to a group of people who took an offering and sent some money to him to help him in his ministry. And he says, you were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. This amazing verse is unfortunately one of the most misquoted and taken out of context verses in the entire Bible. When Paul writes, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he wasn't talking about winning your game that you're playing. He wasn't talking about achieving some financial level. He wasn't talking about reaching some level in your workplace or corporation. He wasn't talking about finding love in 2019. Like, hey, how's it going on that dating app? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Even find somebody today. Look, the letter to the Philippians, it's really focusing on two things. Obedience to God and serving others. And when Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, what he's saying is that because Jesus truly satisfies my drive for more that I have, I can be obedient to God and I can serve others no matter the circumstances that I find myself in. No matter my financial realities, I can obey God and I can serve others. It doesn't matter whatever my relationship status is. I can obey God and I can serve others. It doesn't matter how much stuff I have. I can obey God and I can serve others. I can do all of it in any circumstance because Jesus is enough. Fusion, let's not spend our lives pursuing more and more stuff that will never truly satisfy the longing in us. Don't waste your lives looking for enough when enough came looking for you. Jesus pursued you. Jesus came searching for you. Enough came to you. It pursued you. And that pursuit, it ultimately led him to the cross. Because on the cross, where Jesus was crucified, the debt for your sin was paid, and the ability to be truly satisfied was finally given to us. Turn to Jesus. Let him be enough. His grace is enough. His plans are enough. His provision is enough. And tonight we want to remember that Jesus is enough. Not only enough to meet your current needs, and yes, he is enough to do that, but ultimately he is enough to meet our greatest need, which is to be saved, which is to be forgiven, which is to be reconciled back to our Creator. The need for a fresh start, for new life. You see, of all of the longings and all of the desires that we have in our lives, I believe the deepest desire that we have is to be loved. I think the desire for love drives everything we do. I think the desire to be loved, it drives the relationships that we engage in and the stuff that we buy and the substances that we use to numb the hurt in our lives. It's all looking for love. And Fusion, the love of Jesus is enough. Just today, my friend Phil said this. I thought it was so profound. He said, love has a shape, and it is the cross. He wanted us to remember his love, which reached its crescendo on the cross. And Alex, if you want to join me up here. Jesus wanted us to remember his love, He wants us to remember that it is only in his love that we are truly satisfied. And so before he demonstrated that love on the cross, before he went to the cross for your sin and for mine, he did something to help us remember this, to remember his love and to remember that his love is enough for us. And the Bible says that he gathered a group of his friends the night before he went to the cross. And he said, guys, I want you to do something. As often as you guys get together, I want you to remember my love that you're about to see. And so the Bible tells us that he broke some bread and he said, this is my body, which is about to be broken for you. This is how much I love you, that I'm going to allow myself to be broken to this level, to this extreme, for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you get together, I want you to break some bread and remember that I was broken for you. And then the Bible says that he took a cup. And he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant, meaning this cup is the new deal. Here's how things are going to work from now on. That it's not about what you do. It's not about your effort and your striving. What this cup represents is that my blood is enough. You don't have to work for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't have to bring offerings. You don't have to perform. You don't have to check boxes. You don't have to present yourself to look good in front of other people to be forgiven of your sins. All that you need to do is trust in my blood, which is about to be poured out for you. And then a few hours after he had that conversation and they shared that meal together, our Savior, who was sinless, who didn't deserve what he was about to go through, but because of his great love for you, knowing that you and I do deserve that, he went in our place. And he allowed himself to be broken in his body. And he allowed his blood to be shed so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God, so that we don't have to strive anymore, we don't have to work for it anymore, but instead we can rest in his grace. That is enough, Fusion. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to remember that Jesus is enough for us tonight. In a moment, the ushers are going to come and they're going to pass a tray. And in that tray, you'll see some little cups that have some juice in it and a little thing of crackers in the middle. I want you to take a moment, reflect on what Jesus did for you. Take one of the crackers. Drink one of the cups of juice and just put it right back in the spot you got it from. And as you do that, remember that he is enough. If you're here and you're not convinced about Jesus, you're not a follower of Jesus, that's okay. We are so glad that you are here. You are welcome in this place always. You can just let that tray pass you by. No one's going to think any less of you. But you can also, in this moment, for the first time ever, recognize what Jesus did for you. You can recognize that he is enough. You can say a prayer right now that simply says, Jesus, I recognize my need for you. Would you forgive me of my sins? Thank you that you are enough. And if you prayed that prayer now and meant it in your heart, you are welcome to participate in communion as well. So ushers, would you come? And once the trays have passed, we're going to continue to worship together.